is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. You must put to death, then, the earthly desires at work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed. For greed is a form of idolatry. Because of such things, God's anger will come upon those who do not obey him. At one time, you yourselves used to living according to such desires when your life was dominated by them. But now you must rid of all these things, anger, passion, and hateful feelings. No insults or obscene talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have taken off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his own image in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. As a result, there is no longer any distinction between Gentiles and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, savages, slaves, and free. But Christ is all. Christ is in all.
You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then, you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another when any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities, add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make, for it is this peace that God has called you together in one body. And be thankful. Christ's message, in all its richness, must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms and hymns and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through him to God the Father.
Our theme for the year is the way, and we're thinking about the only way to build, and that's what we've been thinking the last few weeks. So there will be some thinking back about that, and we're going to build upon that as well today. We've been thinking about building our lives into the church, so being church builders, about building the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God, the people of God, is actually a spiritual temple in which God lives in community with his people. We are to be a spiritual temple. So we're not just concerned about brick-built buildings, but about the spiritual temple. And our reading has come from Colossians, very key. We've been asking, very practically, what shape the church should take. And that's a crucial question for us to ask, for all churches to ask, and for the church to ask it together. What shape should the church take so that it can best tell and be good news to other people? Because we do not exist just for our own benefit, but actually for other people. How should we live in community and present ourselves and our message to people in this community of place where the chapel building is, but also the communities where we live, where our houses, where our flats are, where we work, where we study? We should no longer live as our Victorian forebears did, because they lived in another day and generation. The world has changed. It is constantly changing. We live in the now, but so often we live with regrets or we live with sentimentality rather than reality and hope. We are really grateful. I'm so grateful to our forebears, the men and women who worshipped and witnessed to their generation and showed their desire to tell and be good news. But we need to tell and be good news now. We need to be part of churches which are being built and are living, not just go to church. And indeed, many people have opted out of that, often quite unhelpfully, but we need to be the church. We've said all along that we've been given this clue, and we pointed it out on our 150th special anniversary weekend, as to how to build. Can we ping on to the next one, please, Jeff? It is with this foundation of Jesus Christ. The church is built on that foundation. And that verse comes from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. So we are not just based upon the teaching of human beings, but upon the person of Jesus Christ. And we've said that when the building goes up, the foundation is there and the building will stay there. That's going to be the place where it is. That's going to be the shape that it takes. It is immovable. But we as people, as living stones, are movable. We can go and we can be God's people every single day of the week, where we find ourselves or where we intentionally go. Today, part of our worship and our teaching has been to reflect upon the idea of going deeper. And it fits, obviously, within our theme of the only way to build. We need to have deep foundations in Jesus. Now, Jesus is a deep foundation, but some people's knowledge of Jesus is really quite superficial. We need to go deeper into Jesus. Our roots and our foundation need to be in the person of Jesus. As people here together in community, community of prayer particularly, asking God, listening to God, to what God is saying, which is why our flame prayer time, which I think will be next Sunday, is incredibly important. It's important at any time, but it's certainly important when a church is asking the question, what shape should we take? And then we need to hear that and to follow. We need to build, we said, upon the rock of Jesus, because there will be trouble and persecution because of the message we share. It is not going to be popular with everyone. Are our roots, is our foundation, deep enough into God to survive and even to thrive when the going gets tough? I had this picture up last week, and it's a real reminder that Jesus and then his followers switched to the emphasis, not of a physical building, but to a temple which is built out of living stones. And that is very, very important. I have to say, if all the buildings that the church owned disappeared, that it uses for worship and other community activities, the church should still continue and thrive. It should continue and thrive. We can all be church builders. God has always refused to live in a stone building built by human hands. We are standing on the lives of others who have gone before. Do you value the foundation, the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ? Do you line your life up with him? Don't tell me you love Jesus and then live as though he didn't exist or what he has said isn't important. Do we value that cornerstone? We are chosen, we are living stones. But do you value people you have been brought into fellowship with? We were talking about that earlier in the service. How do we build the church? How do we build those relationships? For all of us, the natural tendency is to stay in safe groups with people we know and who are like us. For all of us, we have to consciously sometimes move where we sit on a coach, or on a beach, or in a cafe, or after church fellowship. We literally have to consciously do that because we get stuck with our bums on the same seats, talking to the same people. The scripture teaches and develops from start to finish that our God is a God of community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who calls us into community with himself and other people. We've been saying that we can be church builders. The foundation will always be the person, the divine Jesus, but we are builders. We are building with living stones. We're building relationships. That's why we did that little exercise at the beginning. How do we build the church? How do we build relationships? We are building a spiritual temple out of living people. You are God's temple. That still utterly amazes me. God's Spirit lives in you and us together. And we need to be listening to that Spirit. We can so easily grieve the Spirit who is speaking. We can so easily have earplugs in our inner being. God's Spirit lives in us. As we said last week, that both Paul and Peter, part of those early apostles and prophets, foundation stones, agreed with this fact that Jesus's plan is to build a holy temple out of living stones, out of a community of people. We read from Peter's first epistle. I quote to you today, just reading you from Ephesians 2, that Paul also believes that we are to be a living temple. So you, Gentiles, are no longer outsiders or aliens, but fellow citizens with every other Christian. You belong now to the household of God. Firmly beneath you is the foundation, God's messengers and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. In him, each separate piece of the building, properly fitted into its neighbours, grows together into a temple consecrated to the Lord. You are all part of this building in which God himself lives by his Spirit. Now, I can't help it that God has chosen to use human beings. I rejoice in it, but it's a very difficult material, isn't it, to build with? Because we're all flawed. We all have history, as I like to say. We are all flawed. We are not all regular shapes and sizes in terms of our personality and background. But continuing this metaphor, this picture, each of us can be fitted into the proper place of right relationship and role within the church, and indeed within the rest of our lives, because our lives are not just our church lives. But the building has to be erected on a solid foundation. The result is a structure, if we do build on Jesus, a community with integrity. And often, of course, the church has been accused of not having integrity. And I have to say, because we're a work in progress, that's in some ways inevitably true. But people do consider us hypocrites if, having received the message, we don't go on to change. So Peter and Paul, in the reading that was brought to us in Colossians, uses this building metaphor and speaks about integrity of relationship in the temple building. How do we treat one another? I do not understand and have never understood why sometimes people, I know the British are forever saying thank you. All my multicoloured culture family will say, you Brits, you never stop saying thank you. But we do sometimes make sure we do say thank you and please and acknowledge others is incredibly important. We need these transparent, truthful, strong relationships to build a strong temple, a strong church. And where there is secrecy in churches, God won't have it. I'll tell you that. The word for things that are hidden and secret is occult. And there is to be none of that. Having said that, there are confidences that we keep. It is not contradictory to hold pastoral confidences and knowledge of people. There is all the difference in the world from that and things when things are secret and muttered. How about getting rid of those things in church in my life that are listed and described as negatives in Scripture, that are destructive, as Nathan said to us, of good relationships and good community? Often in community and in church, we feel the weight of others pressing down on us. But sometimes they too must feel our weight pressing down on them, our difficult habits pressing down on them. There needs to be a sharing of the load. And sometimes so many people are taking too much of the pastoral strain. The pastoral care of the church is not the responsibility of the minister or even the leaders of the church. It is their responsibility to see that the whole church cares for one another. It has to be shared out. That's just a fact. All of our trustees are volunteers. They're not paid. They just give and give and give of their time. And they're acknowledged for that. And God rewards them and holds them. But it is your responsibility, it's my responsibility to care for one another. If specialist care is needed, if somebody is in particular grief or they have a particular spiritual issue that needs ministering into, that can be taken care of. But the general pastoral care is the responsibility of everyone in the church. At our church members' meeting on Wednesday, we'll be talking about that. What is my responsibility? Not just in transition, but at any time in the church. There needs to be a sharing of the load. Some are more capable than others, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But all of us have a role and a part to play. All of us are held in place by one another. We don't exist in isolation. And the love of God holds everything together. This is what this passage is about. The love of God will hold everything together. So we asked, what shape should the church take? Well, it's a very God-human shape. It should be as alike to Jesus as is possible. It should be cross-shaped, cruciform-shaped. That's why some physical churches are built as a cross. That reminder, when you look down, that it's meant to be the cross that rules and dominates in people's relationship. Jesus says the church is his body, his people. And so the church, how it lives and treats one another, is very, very important. But also how you see yourself. I hope you do see yourself as someone very special. A living stone that God has chosen with a purpose and designed to fit into a certain place. I talked to a young man called Dan on a seat yesterday in Clacton. I didn't know where on earth the coach was meeting. I have to say, don't ask certain people for directions ever, because they'll all direct you in a wonky way. But I was sitting there thinking, I haven't got the foggiest idea where this coach is. And there was a guy next to me, and I was very aware that I didn't want to sit next to him, because you could feel his needs oozing, you know, when you see that. And I thought, do I sit on those chairs over there? Do I sit with those people who obviously don't want to sit with him? What do I do? Do I really want to get involved in this? Anyway, I felt I should, and I was blessed because I talked with him. Every day was the same for him. He lived up at Jaywick in Martello Towers. Every day was the same. He'd come from London for 7 or 8 years. He said, every day is the same. But yesterday was okay because he didn't get any harassment or any hassle. I thought, he's going to ask me for money, isn't he? Didn't ask me for a penny. He talked, I talked a little bit, and I was blessed. And I thought, how would you fit in to the church? How could the church receive you? Because you have a place. God has chosen you. You have a place, if you will accept that. Could have asked the same from a moneyed person that thought they had no need of God. But actually, I was blessed. I was thinking, you know, am I going to get my... the things you think, but I was blessed. And I was asking that, thinking, how could he fit in? I know Jesus has something for him. We're told in this passage that it is love, which is the cement that holds everything together. Everything together. How deep should the foundation in Jesus be? Well, when you read about foundations, what you end up finding is, you're going to need to spend money because you need a structural engineer to tell you how deep they should be, because it depends of the weight of the building, the substrate, the soil that it's in, and so on. But you need the right foundations for the right building. And I know Jesus is adequate. Whatever foundation we need, in whatever context, whatever country, whatever situation, for people who are so very, very different, whose backgrounds are so diverse, it doesn't matter what their cultural background is, it doesn't matter what their nationhood is, it doesn't matter what their personality is, it doesn't matter what the state they're in on the mental health spectrum, it doesn't matter, because there is a place for each of these, whether they're circumcised, uncircumcised, Greeks or Jews, barbarian, male, female. It doesn't matter, because this building is truly of all humanity that comes to Jesus. We need a deep foundation into the Lord Jesus Christ. God's holy temple is being built. We're told the foundation is Jesus, but on that foundation is another foundation, and it is the teaching of the apostles and the prophets. It is both the living word and the word written. This is what we have as firm foundation. This book reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world. It's built on the foundation of Jesus, the person, and all that is revealed in Scripture about him. This is our foundation, the cornerstone that we line our lives up on, the values, the behaviour system is built upon Jesus. What would Jesus do? But we are the living stones. And God is building a temple in which God will live. It's spoken of in Revelation at the end, that wonderful picture of that garden city. There's no temple because Jesus is the temple. We are the temple. But we are the living stones, every one of us. That's a bit more than church attendance, isn't it? I need to go and be with my church because we're living stones and I have a part to play. Without me, that building is not complete. We discussed earlier the things that we do together that help us to build a living community. And as some have rightly said, even having food together and talking and chatting, it goes towards it. Certainly meeting and praying together goes towards it. Doing things together, playing together, going out together, all these things build it. Now, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, their building, their temple, was under threat. And what God is building is always under threat. It's always at risk of being disrupted. If there is no foundation, it will be undermined. If people do not understand that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, there is no foundation. The foundation is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If that foundation is not there, the building will not stand. But also we need these strong relationships. It says in verse 14, to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. And we, myself included, misunderstand what love is. We live in a world which does not understand what love is. And love truly understood is seen, I believe, in Jesus Christ. God is love, is what is written above Jesus dying upon the cross. That is what love is, and it's to do with sacrifice and care and tenderness, all these things, and most of all, faithfulness. I feel today that is what love is. And so Paul writes to them, and he actually says, above all these things, above all these qualities, the greatest is love, agape, sacrificial and full of grace. It will bind everything together. You've heard of Gorilla Glue. It's really good stuff. Has anybody ever used Gorilla Glue? You can get it in many, many forms. But of course, at the moment, it's sort of the strongest thing. Well, I have to tell you that God's glue, love, is stronger than this. It will bind everything together. Why? Well, because if you love someone, you have to forgive them. You know, you have to put up with them. You have to bear with them. You spend time with them and so on. It goes on and on. It will bring us to completion. There will be a perfect unity, which we're looking for on the day we meet Jesus. It won't be finished then. God, as the creator, we're told in verse 10, is constantly renewing us according to his image. This is set in motion, that in the church is a constant renewal through the work of the Holy Spirit to make us more in the image of God shown in Jesus Christ. It's a constant work. You can't say, oh, I became a forgiving person 5 years ago. You know, I can't say I loved my fellow Christians last week. It's a constant renewal. But people do cite historic spiritual experiences. But actually, that's important. But what is really important is what is happening now in your life? Is there something, however simple? We're told that concrete love in Scripture is so important. We know that the making of concrete is water and aggregates, that's grit and sand, and Portland stone, cement. That makes good concrete. We need the rock, Jesus. We need the water of the Spirit, and we need the cement of God's love. It will bind it together. Love will bind everything together and make it strong. Even living stones, it's a special type of glue, the love of God. You will and I will need to put to death, and we can read about those things in verses 5 to 7, the things that stop it, and we had a clue from the youngsters, that stop us building, and there will be things that we need to get rid of, and we need to put on the new person. We need to be renewed. How do we build? We build by allowing God to renew us, and to do that in community. I do believe, I'm a good pietist in many ways, a good Puritan, that God works in individuals, but I also believe God works through community. You will shape the person next to you. The people you interact, you will have an effect, positive or negative, upon, and they will have an effect upon you. And that is why we need the church. And any Christian that thinks they don't need a group of living believers, I think lacks humility, but I think that they are deceived. We all need the church, flawed as it is, imperfect as it is, we need that. We need one another. So we're going to be still here. We're going to reflect on the building and what's happening in us before we sing a last song of praise. So just a short few seconds just to ask God to take what he said to us into our lives to bear fruit.